Welcome to Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair. Talk radio to inspire, inform, and stimulate. Bringing you enlightened discussions with authors, creatives, innovative business, and health professionals, and ordinary people living extraordinary lives. Sharing their expertise and life stories. Making a difference, one word at a time. Now here's your host, Vicki St. Clair.
Welcome, everybody. Welcome, welcome. Well, I'd like to begin today's show by painting a picture. They say a picture paints a thousand words, right? So just imagine this, if you would. Bunk beds, blisters, stunning landscapes. One person said it was like walking through a postcard. World-class snorers, hot, searing sun, freezing cold rain, kindness from strangers, debilitating injury, unexpected romance. And imagine this one, no toilet paper when you really need it. Profound grief, deep doubt, hunger, and laughter with new friends, followed by total exhaustion. Well, filmmaker Lydia B. Smith says that these are all of the emotions and feelings that you're going to experience on the journey that we would talk about today. I'm very pleased to welcome Lydia with us. She's been involved in film industry for more than a quarter of a century. In addition to producing and directing, she's worked as camera assistant and operator on major motion pictures, national commercials, and top music videos. Some of her production and writing credits include A Legacy Revealed, Soldiers of Peace, A Children's Crusade, and The Mystery of the Arctic Rose. She's a licensed spiritual practitioner and was the director and producer for her latest film, Walking the Camino. Lydia Smith, welcome.
Much for having me.
Very pleased to have you here. I love this film. We were just chit-chatting before the show started, and I watched it three times. And it made me want to put my hiking boots on. So let's just go back a little bit, and let's look at your background a little bit before we get into the film and what it's all about. I think many of our listeners will really enjoy this because many of them are into spiritual practice and, you know, a healthy lifestyle, which there's plenty of walking on this trip. But you lived in Spain, I read, for 6 years.
Yes, I did. I went my junior year in high school, and then I just kept going back. And then 3 years straight after college, while I worked in the film industry there.
Yeah. And so at what point did you decide you wanted to walk the Camino?
You know, it was actually only a couple months before I walked. I found myself, I was in transition. I was in between jobs, relationships, and homes. And you know, to be honest, I did spend a little bit of time feeling sorry for myself. And then all of a sudden, it was just clear. It was like, I really need to take advantage of this. Like, all my stuff's in storage. I can do whatever I want for a little while here. And since I had lived in Spain for 6 years, I always kind of knew about the Camino. Mm-hmm. And it just popped in my head, I need to go do the Camino. So literally within a couple months, I was on the Camino.
So for someone who's sitting there thinking, you know, what the heck's a Camino? I thought it was a car. Let's tell them what we're talking about here.
Well, the Camino de Santiago, technically speaking, is any path that leads to the city of Santiago de Compostela, where it's said that the remains of St. James is buried. But what's happened over the years is there's one particular section called the Camino Francés, which starts in this little teeny town in France called St. John. And then it goes 500 miles to Santiago de Compostela. And that's become the most famous and well-known route, which is called the Camino Francés. And that's what upwards of over 250,000 people a year do it.
It's staggering, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. And the whole run is about 500 miles, right?
Yes, that's correct. And then many people, and I do encourage people to keep going and go on to Finisterre and Muxia on the coast. And many people in the Middle Ages would continue to do that where they would reach what's called the end of the earth. Because for many people in Europe in the Middle Ages, that was where the earth ended.
Yeah. And so they've been doing this since the 9th century. That's when the first pilgrims, as far as we know, walked across this.
Yeah. And they say it's somewhere around the year 830, 840. But it's also, there's speculation that it was an ancient Celtic route as well. And there's even talk about that prehistoric man would go along this route, looking to see where the sun set to see if that's where the origin of fire was.
Well, so many aspects you can come at from this film. I'm just wondering, when you began this, did you have an expectation in your mind, and did that change? Or, you know, sometimes when we're telling a story, things crop up that we just didn't expect to find.
Well, you know, the whole journey of me coming to make this film was really, I feel so kind of divinely inspired and guided. When I walked, I had no intentions of doing the film. It was only after I got back that I really had this calling to do it. And then as I decided to do it, for me, what I was really clear on was I wanted this to be the Camino's film. If the Camino was a person and could tell me, this is how I want to be represented, that's what I was going for. So it was very deeply rooted in my spiritual practice and in meditation and really trying to kind of, you know, when artists talk about the sculpture already being there and they're just getting rid of the parts that don't belong, I was kind of trying to do the same thing and really let it be the Camino's film, not mine.
I think you did a great job on that, really.
Oh, thank you.
And the characters that you followed six key characters through this. How did you select those?
Well, you know, again, it was really about letting the Camino cast the movie. Of all the characters you see in the film, only one I knew beforehand, and that's Annie, who is the American who had a really challenging physical time. And Annie and I were old friends, and she heard I was doing this project. We were talking on the phone, and she was just immediately called. She was like, oh, I want to do this. I want to be involved. And so she signed on as a co-producer, and she walked. And I knew she would be great because she's very funny. And really importantly, I knew she had the courage to be open and to really show what was going on the insides rather than just some mask of like, oh, I'm fine.
Right, right.
And, you know, she was very courageous in the film. I mean, she was very, very vulnerable.
She cried a lot.
Exactly.
She definitely wore her heart on her sleeve.
Exactly. And so I knew that would be important to have at least one person that was, like, completely open. Not to mention I needed somebody to film the first day. But then after that, it was really, like, I was just open to who the Camino was presenting to me. And that said, I was also trying to make sure I had a wide variety of ages, nationalities, reasons for doing the Camino, spiritual, religious, or agnostic.
Right.
And because that's what you find on the Camino, just this huge range of people. It's not everybody's Christian, not everybody's even religious.
Yeah, and I love the fact that the people in your film were from the age of 3 through 73. But we actually have a clip, since we were just talking about Annie, we have a clip from the movie that Eric's going to play for us right now. And I loved this clip because I think it showed Annie really who Annie is. And you can imagine how she felt when she's just out there trying to have a walk. So can we go ahead and play that clip?
And, you know, there's times when the Camino is really just a little trail, like one person wide, and I start hearing people's sticks behind me. Dup, dup, dup. And it's like Jaws, you know, da-dum, da-dum. They're coming. And I'm like, I'm not moving. So my pace is slow, it's my pace. It's so ingrained in me to be competitive. And to notice, like, other people are doing this faster. I can know consciously it's not about that. But boy, it really was like kicking my butt today. I finally step aside, and they're so nice. They're like, oh, thank you, Buen Camino. And then they go off, and within like 30 seconds, tuk, tuk, and then tuk, 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 and then they're gone. A bad day for the ego is a good day for the soul. So this must be a great day for my soul.
Well, that was a clip of Annie O'Neill, who was one of the people on this journey. Some many call it a pilgrimage, right, Lydia? It depends on why they've gone. And as I said earlier, we had a 3-year-old on there. I was so shocked when I saw his mom, who was Tatiana, a French young French mom, pushing a stroller on this 500-mile trek. Did he go the whole way?
Oh, he sure did. And that was one of those cases of never in a million years would I have cast a three-year-old and his mother, because you don't find that many kids on the Camino. But we ran into Tatiana even before we started shooting, and then we kept running into her. So I was like, okay, I think she's meant to be in the film. But it's funny, people speculate with Sirian and say, oh, you know, I've seen some reviews where they're like, oh, there must be all these meltdowns on the cutting room floor. And, you know, the truth of the matter is there weren't.
Yeah, Sirian is the three-year-old.
Yes, and he had a blast.
Yeah.
He really enjoyed himself. The only time I saw him kind of get grumpy and upset was when he had to sit through Mass in church, which makes him probably a completely normal three-year-old.
Yeah, well, he made me chuckle because he was being interviewed and they said, why are you doing this, or words to that effect, and he goes, because I have no choice. But his mom was very, very devoutly religious.
Yes,
and
very.
This was an extremely intense, powerful journey for her.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think she took away from that?
You know, I think she probably took away a lot. But the biggest thing, well, I don't know, I don't want to spoil it too much for our viewers, was I think really learning more about herself,
mm-hmm.
and who she is and how she deals with people. I'm just being vague because in case there's people that haven't seen it yet, I don't want to give anything away.
Right. Well, and I think that learning things about themselves was a key thing that came up. And I want to talk about the young Brazilian woman. What we need to take a quick break first. You are listening to Conversations Live with Vicky St. Clair, my guest in for this whole hour, actually. We're talking about walking the Camino with filmmaker Lydia B. Smith. And we will be right back, so please do stay with us.
Hey, I know I'm gonna be the man who's heaving to you. But I would walk 500 miles, and I would walk 500 more than be the man who walked 1,000 miles to fall down at your door. When I'm walking, yes, I know I'm gonna be the man who's walking hard for you.
Parkinson's disease affects as many as 1 million people in the United States. At the Parkinson's Disease Foundation, it's our mission to beat this disease. To learn about the Parkinson's Disease Foundation, or if you want to help support our work, visit our website, pdf.org, or call us at 800-457-6676. In the Northwest, contact the Northwest Parkinson's Foundation at nwpf.org.
Let's see if I guess that this just isn't working.
Knowing you have a great idea for a book is one thing, writing it another. So what's stopping you? Maybe you can't find time. Maybe you don't know where to begin. Maybe you wrote a couple of chapters, then disappeared down a rabbit hole. Or maybe you'd rather someone else write it for you. Partnering with the right coach or ghostwriter can make all the difference between talking about your book and finishing your book. As an award-winning writer and strategic consultant, Vicky St. Clair's storytelling credits span from business, health, self-help, and memoir to New York Times and USA Today best-selling anthologies. Vicky partners with people just like you, at the exact level you need, whether you need a little encouragement, editorial guidance, or full-blown ghostwriting and consulting services. If you're serious about telling the story you know is inside you, stop procrastinating. Let's get your story down on paper. Contact Vicky today. Email Vicky at VickySt.Clair.com or call 1-800-495-7617. See more about Vicky and her work at VickySt.Clair.com.
Oh, yeah, that could work.
If you love dogs, tune in to The Dog Show with Julie Forbes live every Wednesday from 2 to 3 p.m. We'll talk about everything dog and interview authors, experts, and amazing organizations both locally and nationally. And don't even get me started on the pet food industry. I'm Julie Forbes. Find us online at www.dogradioshow.com and also as a free podcast on iTunes. The Dog Show with Julie Forbes, an evolved perspective on life with dogs.
If you'd like to advertise your business or service on Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair, or you'd like to become a program supporter by sponsoring one of our shows, please call me at 425-269-4772. Let Conversations Live shine a spotlight on you. Call 425-269-4772 or email info@conversationslive.net. Thanks for listening to Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair. Follow me on Twitter at Vicki St. Clair.
Body, mind, and spirit. Alternative Talk 1150 covers it all.
When I first started, I was just walking, and people said to me, "You will find the answer." And then I realized that I didn't have the question.
Pourquoi tu fais le chemin avec maman?
Well, that was a sound clip from the film Walking the Camino, Six Ways to Santiago. And I'm talking with filmmaker Lydia Smith. She's here in the studio with me. And we're looking at some of, Spain's 1,200-year-old Camino de Santiago. What inspires people to go there? Who goes there? Why do they go there? And how do they get changed? How are they changed along the way? And that, as we just heard that clip, was a Brazilian woman, young Brazilian woman in her 30s, right, Lydia? Mm-hmm. Samantha Gilbert was her name. And I love that she was very philosophical. She really was in a not good place in her life, and she just, got up and said, "Let's go do this."
Yeah, her case was really extreme. I mean, she was just, her whole life was falling apart. She got fired from her job. She was in a horrendous relationship, and she had been diagnosed with depression, and she was on medication, and she was just like, "I need to change." And she actually, I mean, not that I'm recommending everybody does this, but she really thought, you know, medication is not the answer. I need to change. Mm-hmm. I need to shift my thinking. I need to shift how I'm behaving in the world. And so she said, "I need to walk." And mm-hmm. she got herself a one-way ticket to Spain and did the Camino.
I wonder if you, when I was watching that, because, you know, I think we've all been in situations where we just say, you know, sometimes it's the best thing you can do is to throw it all up in the air and see where it lands and just go on to something different. And I was wondering if you had heard from her since the film.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. She's been, well, all the pilgrims, but Sam has been a huge help. She translated it into Portuguese for us, the entire film. We have the film subtitled into 10 different languages, and all of them have been done by volunteers and people on the Camino. And Sam, actually, she kind of bounced around Europe for about a year after we filmed, and then she went back to Brazil. And she's been doing really well. She's working as a translator, a professional translator at a convention center. And then what was really special is it just so happened she was going to be visiting a friend of hers in Los Angeles right when we were in the Hollywood Film Festival. And we won Best Documentary, so she was able to come with us to the Hollywood Film Awards, which was really special.
That's awesome. Well, you just say you just, you know, won Best Documentary, but you just mentioned that you are 201st voted 201st best documentary ever?
Well, it's a ranking. We're the number 201 highest grossing theatrical documentary in of all time, which is really quite extraordinary because we haven't had a big budget. Most films spend hundreds of thousands, if not millions of dollars in promotion, advertising, marketing. And ours was really, we did one screening at a time, and the proceeds from one screening would kind of go to get the word out for the next.
Right. A bit like The Leg of the Journey. I want to look at how this film came together in a short while, but it really came together like one step at a time, didn't it? Just like the journey of the Santiago.
One teeny step at a time. It was, I'm going on year 6 right now.
Right, right. We talked about the youngest member of the pilgrimage, 3-year-old Syrian. And one of the others that endeared me, of course, were the oldest couple there, two friends. One was a 73-year-old Episcopal priest. And then, of course, Wayne, who was 65 and had not too long ago lost his wife, about 3 or 4 years ago, lost his wife. Mm-hmm. And I thought that was very touching when you profiled him in the film.
Yeah, it was really, they were just lovely, lovely men. And And they, too, have been really extremely supportive. And just they were so wise. They loved being part of the film because they told me later that they said it made their pilgrimage that much more profound because they were always reflecting, what am I learning? How am I growing? What's going on inside me? Mm-hmm. Because they knew they were going to be asked those questions.
Right, right. And Wayne said that, quoting here, he loved the one-way nature of the Camino, which he said represented leaving his past and walking toward his future, which mm-hmm. I think, you know, many of us need to regroup at times and do that.
Yeah, it's really kind of, for many people, walking the Camino becomes, their lesson becomes letting go or letting things just fall by the wayside. And that's what's so unique and amazing, I think, about the Camino is that everybody gets a different lesson. There's not one lesson that's for everybody.
Yeah. Well, since you did it yourself, before you even started this, I'm going to ask you, what was your lesson? What did you take away from it? And was it a whole different journey than you'd expected?
Well, you know, there's a saying on the Camino that your real Camino starts when you get home. And that was definitely the case for me. And I think my lesson was I'm so much more capable than I thought. And that I feel like with making this film, I was really given the opportunity to step into all of my potential. And I've spent most of my life really supporting other people's dreams and visions and being a really great producer. Like, you know, you need a camel here tomorrow. Okay, I can make it happen. But now it was time for me to go, this is what I think is important, and support my own dream and vision. And so I think that was really my lesson, was that what I feel is important, and I'm a lot more capable than I gave myself credit for.
Yeah, and that's worth its weight in gold to come away with that.
Yeah.
For sure. Well, we have a clip of Wayne that I just mentioned. He's 65 years old, and he was walking with the priest. One thing, we're not going to give away all the sound bites because there are tons of great sound bites in this film. It's so inspirational. But I remember the priest saying, and even if you don't believe in God, he was talking really about whatever you believe in, that if you don't take him with you, you're not going to find him on the journey.
Mm-hmm.
But let's play that clip, Eric, if we can, of Wayne.
One of the spurs that got me here was my old friendship with Jack. And Jack performed the funeral for my wife.
What happened?
She died suddenly 4 years ago. So last year, I did a pilgrimage in Japan with my oldest son. It's been one of the highlights of my life, actually, to do that particular trip with my son.
And it was for you guys to honor your wife.
Mm-hmm.
It's so beautiful.
Thank you.
I bet she felt that.
I think so, yeah. So, sorry, I'm just, it's still fresh sometimes.
Of course.
You know. I'm quite frankly confused a lot of the time about things beyond the physical. There are moments where you think all of this is part of some big, massive whole. And then other days I think it's just a big, bloody mess, and I'm just happy to be walking here. There may be something beyond. And I don't know what it is, but I've learned to be very patient with myself and try and accept that this day is what I have now, and there are no guarantees about tomorrow. And so I will walk this day as best I can. And I think that's where I am right now.
And that sounds like a good place to be. And you were saying, Lydia, talking with filmmaker of Walking the Camino, Lydia Smith here, but you were saying, Lydia, during the break, that the only people who had no physical issues on this 500-mile pilgrimage with the 3-year-old and the 73-year-old. So tell us about that.
Well, you know, I just think it's such a great demonstration of when you let go of comparing or trying to keep up with anyone and just really listen to your body, that your body's going to guide you and is going to let you know how to kind of get there to the end. When Sirian was tired, he climbed in the stroller. When Jack was tired, he took a rest. And Jack and Wayne, the two older gentlemen, Jack walked a lot slower than Wayne. But instead of trying to keep up, he just would say, well, I'll meet you in the next town. And Wayne would wait for him there. Mm-hmm. And so it was really, I just think, such a great life lesson about really listening to ourselves rather than comparing ourselves to people outside and going, I need to be able to keep up with them. No, I think we just need to listen to our own inner intuition and guidance on what's best for us.
Right. There were some great moments between those two, I thought. And when we come back, I want to talk about some of the other people that weren't on the journey but were part of the journey, like the priests and the monks. And you are listening to Conversations Live with Vicky St. Clair. My guest is Lydia Smith. And we're talking about her new documentary, which has won several awards already. It's called Walking the Camino. Please do stay with us. We'll be right back.
But off the boat they sail a while and scatter across the coast. Once a year I'll see them for a week or so at most. I should go up.
Hi, I'm Charlie. I fight fires and I save lives.
My name's Renee. I'm a cardiologist. I save lives.
My name's Anthony. I'm an EMT. I save lives.
You don't have to be a professional to save a life. Firefighters, doctors, and others save lives. You can too. Don't wait. To learn more about the warning signs and how you can help prevent suicide, visit save.org. In a crisis, call the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline at 1-800-273-TALK.
This is Martha Norwalk. Every Sunday morning, beginning at 9 a.m., thanks in part to the Northwest School of Animal Massage, we cover the world of animals. This week, November 16th, it's Vet Sunday with our favorite vet, Dr. Bill Burlingame, in the studio. We'll have open phone lines throughout the show for your animal medical care questions. Plus, there's so much to talk about with Dr. Bill, like the incredible healing work he's doing with cold laser and the latest shockwave therapy. Plan to join us, Martha Norwalk's Animal World, Sunday morning, 9 a.m. to noon, right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150.
Next week on Conversations Live with Vicky St. Clair. When Chris Brown was honorably discharged from the military after three overseas tours, the burning question he faced was, what now? Join us next Monday at noon to find out how Chris Brown's organic farm is growing and helping veterans develop in the process.
You're listening to Conversations Live with Vicky St. Clair. Talk radio to inspire, inform, and stimulate. Making a difference, one word at a time.
Feed your mind and your body and spirit will follow. Alternative Talk, 1150.
It's just been thrilling, a walk. I think of it as walking in a postcard. You know, you're just walking in such beauty.
And welcome back, everyone. You're listening to Conversations Live with Vicky St. Clair. And that, of course, was a clip from Walking the Camino, Six Ways to Santiago. I have the producer and director here with me, Lydia Smith. And Lydia, let's just tell listeners, the DVD release is tomorrow.
Yes, it's a very exciting day for us.
And you are going to be here for 2 days screening in Seattle, is that correct?
Yes, tomorrow night we're at the SIF Uptown. And then the next night we're at the Queen Anne United Methodist Church. And all the information about those screenings is on our website, which is just CaminoDocumentary.org.
CaminoDocumentary.org.
Yeah.
It's a great film. I think the Seattle Times called it a gentle resonance of a documentary, or words to that effect. And it is very gentle, very inspiring, very thought-provoking. I'm wondering, as the filmmaker, how, you know, what was the biggest key takeaway for you during the actual filming of this and putting the film together? I know this is an ongoing journey because you've been doing this since 2008, now 2014. But once this film was packaged and you put that, you know, together, what was the biggest takeaway for you during that process?
I think it was really about learning to receive and learning not only to ask for help, but accept the help when it was given. The making of the film was just excruciatingly painful because I had to raise all the money myself, and I thought I could raise it from traditional sources like foundations and government institutions and religious organizations, but all of those turned me down, and it really ended up me asking everyone I've ever known for money. And so it was really, I needed to ask for a tremendous amount of help. And then what we did, we've been on a theatrical tour for over a year now, and we've really asked our viewers for help. Let people know, spread the word, tell people. And Seattle is a very special place for us because we essentially started our tour here in February 7th last year, and we were at the SIFF Uptown for 11 weeks. We were also in Tacoma and Bellingham and Port mm-hmm. Townsend. All that was like last February and March. And so now that's why we're coming back here to do our last official DVD release screening party.
And so you have very kindly offered to give a couple of tickets to listeners who may be listening. So if you are interested, I'm looking for the website. I'm sorry, I'm looking for the numbers, Eric. Can you give us the numbers? I don't know why I was looking up at the wall there.
Absolutely. Shall we do the first caller?
That's a good idea, yeah. Let's do that.
At 425-373-5527. Again, that's 425-373-5527 or toll-free 888-298-KKNW. That's 888-298-5569.
Okay, so if you'd like a chance of getting a couple of tickets, call us now. And these will be at the will call, right?
Once we get the names, they can either be for Tuesday night or Wednesday night. So they can choose.
Okay, very good. All right, thank you. All right, so what do we want to talk about next? Let's talk about some of the highs and lows of the journey, because this is not an easy journey by any means. The one couple who kind of paired up together, you know, who I'm thinking of.
Misa and William.
Yes, mm-hmm. The very good-looking William. they did 30 kilometers in a day?
They actually did 40.
40 kilometers. 40 I know day. I walked 30 miles in one day once when way back when. But to do that consistently day in, day out, that's grueling.
Yeah, they were both very fast walkers, and they walked, generally speaking, a lot longer than most people did. The average, most people, I would say, walk 20 to 25 kilometers a day. And there were several days that Misa and William walked over 40 just because they were feeling kind of ambitious. But it was one of those things later Misa recalled and said, you know, I think we weren't really listening to ourselves. We were just kind of pushing on to push on.
Right, right. So did you have a favorite story when you were putting this film together? It might have made the film or it might be on the cutting room floor, but did you have a favorite story that you'd like to share with listeners?
Well, there's a saying on the Caminos, the Camino will provide. And there was just all these magic moments that happen on the Camino. And I remember one of them was we were hooking up and we were going to be filming this new group of pilgrims. They were from Germany and they were walking into Burgos. And I was talking with one of them on the phone and she goes, well, I don't know exactly where we are, but we're walking into Burgos and there's a creek on our right hand side. And I was just like, oh, geez, how am I going to find them? You know, I'm trying to intersect with them. And the tricky part is that Burgos, the entrance into Burgos, there's three or four different ways in. So I conferred with my driver / Camino expert, Marcelo, and Marcelo's like, I have a feeling I know where they are. And I'm like, really? How on earth could you have a feeling? But he's like, okay. So we drive to this place. He's like, okay, go over that. He dropped us off and he said, go over that bridge. And then that's the path right there. And I think you'll find them. So I'm like, okay. So we go over the bridge, and it's literally one of those things. We could turn right or left, and I had no idea where they were. And just as we're going over the bridge, they appeared. And it was just like, if we had been 1 minute later or earlier, we wouldn't have known what to do. So it was just a really, and it was always like that. When something went wrong and I couldn't find one pilgrim, I'd be like, oh, darn, what are we going to do? And then somebody would show up.
That reminds me of a story. My sister and I used to go camping every single weekend because we had a 2.5 day weekend. And we were like in our early 20s, and we were stuck out in the middle of the Yorkshire moors, which I don't know if you've been there, but they can be pretty desolate. And we couldn't find anywhere to camp. And so I'd pulled to the side of the road and I was like, oh, please find us a campsite. And this guy popped up from behind this old fence. You know, it's just, it was ironic. You had to be there. It was. So I want to talk about some of the other people who were featured in the film that were not on the journey, but very much participate in the pilgrim's journey along the way. We're talking about the priests. We're talking about the people who manage the hostels. They have to have a special little passport to stay there. So share some stories about that, if you would.
Well, it's just such an extraordinary thing. There's what they're called hospitaleros, the people that take care of the pilgrims in these pilgrim hostels. And there's several different kinds of albergues, these pilgrim hostels. There's private ones where you can actually call ahead. There's municipal ones that are run by the city or state. And those are either run by volunteers or by state employees in the case of Galicia. And then there's donativos, which are by donations that are usually run by pilgrim associations or by the church. And those were always my favorite places to stay, because that was where you always knew you had volunteers that were working there. And usually what happens with those volunteers, they work 2 week stints. And it's the most extraordinary experience, because you may have somebody that's cooking, that's cleaning, that even tends to your feet for an hour, and they want nothing in return.
That's what amazed me. Everywhere you went, you saw somebody massaging their feet. Not a pretty job, let me tell you, with all those blisters and sores.
Yeah.
But they, and I wondered if they were paid. I wondered, you know, how that worked.
Well, quite frequently, it is people just volunteering to help the pilgrims. And it's just such a great lesson, I think, for especially us Americans, where it's like, well, what do you want from me? Kind of attitude, to go to really receive that kind of kindness, knowing that they're not trying to get anything from you. And so I think it really shifts your heart a little bit. And as Annie said, it really makes you want to be a kinder, better person. And that just leads me to think about, I was interviewing someone and I was kind of talking about part of me feeling a little bit worried about, oh my gosh, what if I'm responsible for thousands and thousands of Americans going to do the Camino? And he pointed out, he's like, well, wow, wouldn't that be great if you were responsible for thousands of people being a little kinder and more oriented towards their communities and towards service? Because I think you really do change when you come back from the Camino.
Yeah. Well, you mentioned Annie, and she, by her own definition, is very competitive. She's the lady we heard in the first clip with the sticks chasing after her, you know, she wanted to keep up. And one of the things that struck me was some of the hostels are quite crowded, and she ran into a situation where she had to sleep next to a man, and she didn't want to sleep next to a man. But later in the film, he showed her such kindness, and she got so touched. She said, I don't think I've ever been that kind in my life.
Yeah, it's really so amazing how, you know, you can have this judgment towards somebody, and then that can be the person that really saves you.
Yeah, yeah. So let's talk a little bit about some of the historical reference around the Camino. I was really surprised to read this, because this isn't in the film, but in your media material, it says that historically many countries have provided criminals with the choice to either serve prison time or do the Camino.
There are still countries that do that today. I think it's Belgium that still does. And there's a couple of documentaries out there. I haven't been able to find them. One in particular that was shot the same time we were shooting, that was following a group of people that, instead of going to prison, were walking the Camino.
Yeah, and the whole idea there is that they're going to, it's a very unusual form of rehabilitation, because you could not help but see, and even watching the film, you feel somewhat changed just by watching the pilgrims change themselves and come to certain realizations that, you know, life really is going to be different on some level for them.
Oh, I'm completely convinced that walking the Camino is way more effective in rehabilitating someone than a year in prison.
Mm. And as far as ancient Catholic tradition upholds, that stated that if you faithfully complete the arduous trek, your sins will be forgiven.
Yeah, there's this whole, I'm not Catholic, so I can't really explain it properly, but it's called a plenary indulgence. And it's, I guess the plenary indulgence is when St. James Day falls on a Sunday. So those years are really special years for Catholics, when St. James Day, which is July 25th, is on a Sunday. And that's when they get a real spike in numbers, because then if you do go to confession, there's a bunch of different steps you have to do if you're Catholic to get this plenary indulgence. And my understanding of it is essentially that you bypass purgatory is really what happens, and your
right.
sins are forgiven.
Right, right. And most popular times for people to travel, May through October, which is pretty true of travel in general in Europe. And some people do it by bike, too, I read.
About 20%. Yeah. I mean, the vast majority do it by foot. There's a gentleman actually here in Seattle that was the head of American Pilgrims, which is a great organization devoted to helping Americans prepare for pilgrimage. And he did it by bike, and very passionate, loves the Camino.
Mm-hmm.
And I haven't done it by bike yet. I think maybe someday I will. But I do know it's a different experience, but again, still a really great one.
Well, when we come back, I want to ask you just how hilly it is, because I couldn't really get a sense of how hilly it was throughout the whole journey. And I want to talk about the experience people have at the highest point of the Camino. So you are listening to Lydia B. Smith. She's a director and producer of the documentary film Walking the Camino, which follows walkers and seekers during their pilgrimage along the Camino de Santiago. And you're listening to Conversations Live with Vicky St. Clair. Please do stay with us. We will be right back.
Stroll on, walk on, stroll on, walk on, stroll on, walk on, stroll on.
Do something different with your spare time. Give baby animals and paws a fresh start. With the assistance of caring volunteers, PAWS helps hundreds of orphaned and sick kittens and puppies each year. Join us and save lives. Become a PAWS foster care volunteer. For more information, visit PAWS.org or 425-787-2500. PAWS.org or 425-787-2500.
Let's see if I guess that... This just isn't working.
Knowing you have a great idea for a book is one thing, writing it another. So what's stopping you? Maybe you can't find time. Maybe you don't know where to begin. Maybe you wrote a couple of chapters, then disappeared down a rabbit hole. Or maybe you'd rather someone else write it for you. Partnering with the right coach or ghostwriter can make all the difference between talking about your book and finishing your book. As an award-winning writer and strategic consultant, Vicky St. Clair's storytelling credits span from business, health, self-help, and memoir to New York Times and USA Today best-selling anthologies. Vicky partners with people just like you at the exact level you need. Whether you need a little encouragement, editorial guidance, or full-blown ghostwriting and consulting services. If you're serious about telling the story you know is inside you, stop procrastinating. Let's get your story down on paper. Contact Vicky today. Email Vicky at VickySt.Clair.com or call 1-800-495-7617. See more about Vicky and her work at VickySt.Clair.com.
Yeah, that could work.
If you'd like to advertise your business or service on Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair, or you'd like to become a program supporter by sponsoring one of our shows, please call me at 425-269-4772. Let Conversations Live shine a spotlight on you. Call 425-269-4772 or email info@conversationslive.net. Thanks for listening to Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair. Listen to podcasts of past shows at conversationslive.net.
On the AM band at 1150 and on the FM HD band at 98.9 HD3. Alternative Talk 1150.
This is a very simple existence, and it's a very addictive kind of existence. You get up in the morning, you put everything you own into one bag, and you walk.
So I think I'm going to get rid of more stuff.
And that, of course, was Annie, right? Getting rid of more stuff. And I think it was it Wayne or the priest?
That was Wayne.
The widower. And so we are talking with Lydia Smith. Her film is called Walking the Camino. We're talking about the Camino de Santiago, the trail that lures people from all over the world to spend a month or more. It takes about 4 to 6 weeks on average for people to walk those 500 miles, correct?
Yeah, it does. And I think that's the bulk of people fall in that. But some people may go a little faster and some people may take their time. I personally, it took me just over 6 weeks.
Yeah. And so people were walking at different paces. And so how did you film this logistically? Did you have a cameraman with one people? Did you have to drive and catch up with? I mean, how did that work?
We had three camera crews, two that had a van and one guy that was, he was just doing his own camera, sound, everything on his own. And he would take a bus, train, walk, hitchhike to kind of get to the next place. And it was really challenging. I mean, it was one of those things where my 25 years of working in the film industry really, I felt, gave me all the tools I needed, because this was the hardest job I'd ever had. I mean, just logistically, you're trying to film. We were filming about 15 different people or groups of people that are moving all at different paces and, you know, with no plan of where they're going to stop.
Right.
So it was a big jigsaw puzzle.
Well, I'm curious how hilly it was, because you can't really get that sense from the film. You could see in certain parts, yes, you're up high, but just how hilly was it?
Well, you know, probably if you talk to somebody from the Netherlands, they would say, oh, it's very, very hilly. And you talk to somebody from Switzerland, they're like, oh, it's really flat. It's
just there's bumps in the road.
Exactly. Well, there's several points where there is a big climb. But it's all relative. There's sections. The first day is the hardest day, and that is you do a huge climb. But then there's literally weeks, several weeks in a row where it's quite flat, and then it kind of becomes, there's a couple steep hills, and then a lot of it's sort of rolling hills. So it just kind of depends on what you're used to. I think most Seattleites would be just fine.
And so let's talk about the highest point of the journey, because that has quite significant spiritual value to many, many people.
Yeah, what it is, it's called La Cruz de Ferro, the Iron Cross. And tradition goes that you take a stone from your homeland and you bring it with you and you walk with it and then you release it there. And it's sort of a metaphorical releasing of whatever you want to let go of. Mm-hmm. And so Annie, for example, she let go of her competitiveness there. And so I think there's really something so magical about a ritual and placing something in a rock and leaving it behind. And so it's just this huge cross with this just huge mound of little stones that people have brought from all over the world.
Mm. Yeah, it was really quite touching, and she got quite emotional, as I'm sure many people do when they get there. I'm thinking some people need a whole truckload of pebbles to take up there and leave behind.
Yeah.
Let's talk a little bit about the process of this, because as you said, you started this in 2008 after you took your walk. Mm-hmm. You had no funding. You had to beg, borrow, steal to get the money. We're talking like $500,000 here to put it together. You launched in February 2014 up here in Seattle. But you had no distributor.
Yeah. So this was one of those things where I just was really listening to my intuition. And what became really clear is without having a distributor, we have to rely completely on word of mouth and rely on our fans to spread the word. And the best way for me, I found to do this was for me to arrive opening weekend with a stack of flyers and say, please, if you like the film, call your friends, post this at the grocery store, at the coffee shop. And it worked. I mean, that worked. And so what happened was, is I financed an RV, covered it with our logo, and took off in February last year, or this year, I guess, and literally went all the way around the country, like down California, Arizona, mm-hmm. New Mexico, up through Colorado to Georgia, then the whole East Coast, and then came back through the Midwest.
Wow. What a journey.
Yeah, what I would do is I would arrive opening night or opening weekend and ask people to tell their friends, and then I'd go on to the next place. There were some weekends where I hit a different city Thursday, Friday, and Saturday nights. And then Annie, who's in the film, took over the tour for me for about 2 weeks, which was really great because the tour was wonderful and it was really exhausting.
Yes. Yeah. I'm wondering how long it takes people to get over that.
Well, that's what I'm trying to figure out right now.
So we have another clip to play, and this is, we haven't talked about him before, but this is Tomas. He's a 30-something athletic and very charming, very cute, kind of torn between kiteboarding on the coast or hiking the Camino, and he elected to do the Camino. So tell us a little bit about him, and then we'll play the clip.
Oh, Tomas was just such a great guy. He originally was traveling with these two Spanish guys, and these guys were just having fun. I mean, they were hitting the bars. They're like just there to enjoy life and just had such a great attitude.
Right, right.
And Tomas was just so open and caring. And he wasn't necessarily, he wasn't religious. He was brought up Catholic, but really wasn't religious at all. And yet really had such a great big heart. I mean, just a kind, good man.
Okay, let's play that clip.
I must say that today was probably the toughest day yet. It started off great, despite the fact that it was raining all day long. I start to feel this pang in my left knee, and it was something that I hadn't felt before. I was like, okay, so this is new, but, you know, hopefully it'll work out. I'm going to rest. I'm going to have a coffee. Had a coffee. I got out of the rain, and it didn't get better, and I had 15K to go with nowhere to stop. And I'm telling you, it was hard. It was, at the beginning of the Camino, I was in trouble because of my ankle, and I was limping a lot, but this was a whole other level. There were quite a few times that tears were coming to my eyes. And I was questioning why I'm here and why we're doing the Camino. And I was going through these beautiful hills and I kind of wasn't taking advantage of it.
For the past 7 days, I've been going with pain every step I take. And I'm really down about the possibility of not making it. But I'll stop if I feel that there's some permanent damage that may occur.
And that was Tomas, a great testament to perseverance there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, unfortunately, we're like way at the end of our show here. I could just talk to you for another couple of hours here, but I don't think the next host would be too pleased if I come into the studio here. So if people want to know more, we're just going to have to go see the film and tell us it's tomorrow and Wednesday.
Mm-hmm. Tomorrow is at SIFF Uptown. And then Wednesday at Queen Anne United Methodist Church. And all the information can be found on our website, which is Camino Documentary. vgsinclair.org. And then we're also, tomorrow is our official release on VOD and DVD, so you can order. If you order today, you get $5 off. Pre-orders are on sale, and then tomorrow we go to the retail price.
Awesome.
Well, available on iTunes, Amazon, on our website, and again, in 10 different languages.
Yeah, awesome. CaminoDocumentary.org is the website, and go there, find out more information. And there's a great trailer on there, the hysterical. It just cracks me up where they're snoring. Yeah. in the hostel. I thank you so much for being with us today, Lydia.
Oh, thank you.
I really appreciate your time. And I think listeners will really enjoy the film. It was kind of like taking a mini vacation, but it left you with something to think about afterwards. So thanks for being with us.
Thank you.
And we'll be back next week. Until then, live well, live strong. You know where to find me at info@conversationslive.net and 800-495-7617. See you next week. Thanks for being with us.
Hi, this is Vicky St. Clair. If you have a business, service, or event and would like to deliver your message to a large audience, call me at 425-269-4772. Let Conversations Live shine the spotlight on you. Call 425-